Hi, good evening. Thank you very much for joining me in this late session. I know it's late. It's 4:30 something. It's probably been a long day, and it's almost the last day of TechEd. So I'm very grateful that you all joined my session. So my session today is about evolutions in data protection in a Windows world. What do we mean by that? What we're going to look today is how is backup, as we probably all know it, changing today as we speak and for the future. Now, it's not gambling what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to show you some data, how people see backup evolve for the future, how managers will actually see it evolve within their own organization. Not only that, within that Windows world, I'm going to try to see that the Data Protection Manager, which is a product of the System Center suite and a product of Microsoft, is actually evolving to that future and already has the possibilities to do those things that managers want. And last, what I really hope to do, because I assume, how many backup administrators do we have here? Well, at least a few. I'm hoping to show you that with DPM 2012 and the way it does backup, and I'm pretty sure that other vendors, non-Microsoft vendors, will do exactly the same thing in the nearby future, that the new methodologies, that it will actually save us time and save us effort to do those backups. Because whether we like it or not, we're what we call the last defense in the environment. If everything goes wrong, everybody is depending on us to get everything back. So, okay, here we go. So, on the agenda for today, first I'll talk briefly about the past. But since we have a lot of backup administrators in the room, I'm pretty sure we know how we did it last 5 years, last 10 years, and how difficult it becomes to do actual backups today with the old-fashioned way. Then I'm going to talk about the future, and I will use some data from a research group that will show that people want their backups to do it differently. And what we see there is that people really want to do backup on a virtualization level. After that, I'm really going to go into different aspects of how are we really going to backup that on that virtualization level, how are we going to do it on our host level. And I will show you. I will try to give you as much demos as possible, how it works and how easy it can be, and how fast it can be to protect an entire virtual machine in a couple of minutes. And last but not least, what I'm trying to show you here today is that with that virtualization layer of backup, that will give us additional power to do disaster recovery. And as we all know, disaster recovery is one part of our job, and it's not the most easiest part. So that is something which could be very, very interesting for us backup administrators. All right, let's talk briefly about the past. So this is about 5 years ago, but it could have been 20 years ago as well. Because those who are already for a long time in backup, and I'm doing it now for 13 or 14 years, it was always the same. Backup of virtual machines from the moment they came, well, that didn't work that well. We had SCDPM, Data Protection Manager, that was the first one that really started to try to do it, and let's admit it, the first effort of DPM wasn't that good. Other vendors tried to do the same thing, and they kind of failed at the same issues. Now, how it happened, what we saw in the companies is that, well, we were going to backup our virtual machines the same way as we were doing physical machines, using bare metal recovery. That, of course, meant a lot of effort for doing it something which could be very easy. We also saw that everybody still remained thinking the old-fashioned way. We're going to do a backup once a day, and we need a backup window for that. It's going to be between 8 o'clock and 12 o'clock, and that moment we bring down the server or we take a snapshot, there is somewhere a moment that the server is not online. Now today, as we see in private clouds and all that other great new technology that's coming to us, there is no offline window anymore. We also see a lot that workloads running on servers, such as SQL and Exchange and things like that, that still many companies take an offline backup and that the actual backup product is taking up just as a file. While that worked for many, many years, times are changing, and what we're trying to do now is actually do a backup every hour, every 15 minutes even in some cases, to do it an online backup, to be able to quickly do a backup and even quicker to do a recovery. And then my most favorite part, I've worked many, many hours, days, weeks, months on creating disaster recovery plans. And by the end, if you read my disaster recovery plan, it was a book like that. It was rocket science. And if things really went bad, we just hoped that we could succeed again. And the idea of a disaster recovery plan, and unfortunately, or maybe lucky for me because of the experience, but I've did a few. And one of the things you really don't want is that your backup administrators are stressed at that moment and have a difficult job trying to set up the disaster recovery, trying to make sure that these plans work. Because if you have so many prerequisites on the disaster recovery plan, and I can assure you, they always fail the prerequisites, ever again, then you're in trouble. And at that moment, your backup admins need to have an easy solution, and whatever they get, they need to be able to perform the disaster recovery. And whatever I get is, one of the things I see many companies forget is, what if there's a disaster, and I mean a serious disaster, the data center is gone, there was a fire, there was something like that, how do you get hardware? How do you actually get back servers? Is your disaster recovery plan capable of recovering to simple PCs, these things, where we put some RAM in it and we deploy a Hyper-V or even a VMware on it and try to recover as fast as possible? And many of these plans are just not ready for that. And I hope by the end of the session you will see that there are possibilities to do it on whatever hardware or whatever situation we are. Now, what exactly is driving this change? What exactly is making sure that it can be easier for us backup admins and it's able to do live backups of SQL, of Exchange, and also live backups of virtual machines? And VSS is the key here. VSS is the secret plumbing, the secret sauce, whatever you want to call it, that makes sure we can do everything live, all those backups live. Now, those who know a bit about VSS, and we are backup guys, so you probably know a bit, you know the first effort in VSS was, well, after a lot of hot fixes and patches and maybe a service pack, it worked. And then each week you still had to check because the VSS writer went crazy and after a boot came back. Now, because of the demand on the market, there were a lot of improvements on the VSS level, not only by Microsoft, but by all the other vendors as well. And we see now that those VSS writers are really getting stable. And I'll come back to VSS a little bit more technically in a couple of slides, where we actually see what happens in the back when you do a VSS backup. Okay? Because of this, the world is really changing. People are now asking for online backups. Can you do an online backup of my SQL every 15 minutes? Can you do my virtual machine twice a day? 5 years ago, that would have been impossible. Taking a backup of a virtual machine would take a couple of hours. Now, because we have VSS, we can actually do that. All right, so this is data created by the Enterprise Strategy Group. And they did a huge market research on what happens at this moment in virtualization land on backup. And if you see at the yellow bars, you see the percentage of the primary method for backing up virtual machines. And 20% of the people responded, our primary method is actually still an agent inside the virtual machine on the guest level. So actually treating that virtual machine as a physical box. And then you see many other things, like we use host-based replication. While host-based replication is a great way of giving you disaster recovery, it doesn't protect you when there's something wrong inside the operating system, when there's something wrong with the data, because that failure, which is in the OS, will be replicated to the other host. We also see that still today, 15% is using image-level backup software. That means taking every day or every week images of all your servers. Now, while this is still a method that used a lot, and it used to be very popular with backup guys, it takes a lot of effort, and it's also not that easy to recover everything, certainly if you have to do it on different hardware, right? And then we see that only 15% uses a primary method, uses an agent installed on the hypervisor level. And that was actually very surprising for us, because I've been working now a lot with these hypervisor backups, doing it on the host level and seeing how easy it is. Then we see that only 15% is using that as a primary method. So that means still a lot of people are using different methods to do that. Now, if we're going to go to the next slide, and this is not the request on managers. What they actually did is went to the backup guys and say, how satisfied are you with your current way of backing up your virtual machines? And we see 18% is very satisfied. That means that are people that trust their solution and they know if something goes wrong, everything will be okay. 46% is satisfied, saying, yeah, it's okay. But when we, well, not me, but the group said, well, you know, you're satisfied, but you're not very satisfied. Where's the very? What happens? Well, it works, and we can do recoveries, but we're not always 100% certain that we'll have or the latest data, or actually have a consistent backup, which means we probably have our virtual machine, and we can boot our server, and then SQL starts up, and the database doesn't start. So at that time, the SQL guys come in, throw something away, do some SQL queries, and hey, look, it works again, but that's it. And then 31% said, well, no. So that means there's a lot room of improvement on this level. Now, of course, virtualization isn't that old, so everything has to grow, has to be become mature, but you see there's a lot of improvement for it. And this is actually a question what we asked to the organization, say, how do you see it changing? What brings the future? And the future says, well, at this moment we got 53% that actually uses different backup solutions, one for physical servers, one for virtual servers. Why only 24% says, yeah, you know, we use one. Now, in the future, they see it changing. And now my question to you very quickly is, do you use separate backup solutions for your physical environment and your server, your virtual environment? Who is using separate solutions for this? Only a few. Who's using one solution? This is very funny, a big difference response. In the US, it was actually the other way around. So actually what I'm doing here, you're all using one solution, so you can go home. Great, I hope you use DPM. No? Anyway, if we're then going to look at the future, because that is what those people, what do we see changing? What is the evolution that we actually see? All right. First, what we see, and I think you saw this week a lot, it's probably thrown at your hat, on your heads with keynotes and things like that, is we got private clouds, we got public clouds, we got hybrid clouds, we got whatever we've got. We've got Windows Server that can have clusters and virtual machines that move from one cluster, go to another cluster somewhere. All great, all fantastic, but then the backup admin can say, okay, but where is our virtual machine? Where is it? Is it in that cloud now? Is it gone to the public? Is it actually somewhere in another data center? And the second question is, where is our data? I'm not sure how many sessions you went to this week where everybody's talking about self-service and people that can actually go in and say, hey, I create my own virtual machine and I deploy a SQL server. That's great technology. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that some project just started up a new virtual machine for development, builds in a SQL database, and then 3 days later they call the backup team and say, hey, can you recover my database because we did something stupid during our programming? And then you are, what do you mean, what database? I didn't got that email. Where is it? So these are very large challenges, and what we see is that backup products are going to involve in following and seeking that data themselves. And actually doing online backups based on what the customer wants. You know, every hour, maybe even every 24 hours, every week, things like that. So, for that, I'm going to use Data Protection Manager to actually follow these virtual machines, to follow that data. And this is a general slide which you probably see in every Data Protection Manager session, but just for quick reference for those who haven't used the product yet or don't know it very well, Data Protection Manager is specialized in protecting Microsoft workloads. And I'm going to be very honest with you, it's very good at this, but it's the only thing it does, Microsoft workloads. As long as it's drive on Microsoft, great. From the moment we're talking cross-platform, sorry, doesn't work anymore. So what it does, it has a protection level for Exchange, all online. You can do SQL Server. You can do SharePoint with it, one click, entire farm protected. We're talking about Dynamics, Windows Server, Hyper-V, Windows Server itself, not Windows Server 2000. Reason being, it's not supporting VSS. Windows Server 2000 does not have that. It can protect your Active Directory. It can also protect clients. And what it does, up to every 50 minutes, now depending on your workloads, because if you have transactional workloads, it will do that up to every 50 minutes. If you don't have transactional workloads, it will be up to every 30 minutes if you want to. It will take a backup and put it onto the Data Protection Manager server. How does it do that? Well, the first time it takes a complete backup, a replica. But from that moment on, it will only replicate the deltas, the changes. So once you have a full backup, and for the entire life cycle of your backup, it will never do that again. Okay? And if that's done, well, as I said, you can do it on disk. Afterwards, you can send it to tape. You can also send it directly to tape if you want to, but that you kind of lose the additional features of the software. And you can even send it to a secondary DPM server. And we're going to talk about that by the end of the session, where I will show you that sending data from the first DPM server to the secondary DPM server can give you a great disaster recovery solution. All right. Let's talk a bit about scenarios. Those who went to some Windows Server 2012 sessions will see that we have now fantastic new technology in Windows Server 2012, Hyper-V. So the idea of DPM 2012 Service Pack 1, because I'm not talking about DPM 2012, which is out on the market now. I'm talking about the version that's coming, and which you can download on the internet. There's CTP2, so you can already start playing with it if you want to test out your backups with Hyper-V, stuff like that. The idea is that it can protect standalone Hyper-V, but also clustered. Same thing we actually have already, both CSV and failover clusters. Now, since Hyper-V 2012 or Hyper-V V3 will actually support SMB disks, DPM will follow and make sure that you can protect your virtual machines live that are running on SMB storage as well. But it also will make sure that it will protect your Hyper-V virtual machines with VM mobility. And what I mean by that is what I said in the beginning. You have probably seen some great demos about a guy that moves one virtual machine with only a cable to another host. That was a great demo, but how is DPM going to follow that virtual machine? How does he know where that virtual machine is? The same thing, you're protecting with DPM your production cluster, and somebody suddenly decides to move that virtual machine to another cluster. How is DPM knowing where it goes? It knows it when it stays in the same cluster, but how do we know where did it go now? Now, DPM 2012 SP1 will know it, and we'll talk about that a little bit further. First, I also want to tell you, before I go into the first demo, is different methods of backup. So I'm always telling you, we want to do live backup. We want to do live backup. And that works for every virtual machine that runs one of these operating systems. Server 2012, 2008 R2, 2008, and Windows Server 2003. If it's not one of these operating systems, you will have to take an offline backup. And what do we mean by an offline backup? Do we mean that we bring down the server at that moment? Well, no. And yes. What happens is DPM will pause the virtual machine at that moment. Actually, it's Hyper-V in the back doing that, of course. But it will pause it, take a snapshot, and then let it run continuously. And we'll take that snapshot. And that is our offline backup. Okay? Now, even if it's one of these OSs, 2012, 2008 R2, 2008, and 2003, it still could be that you need to take an offline backup. At that time, it's what we call backup using saved state of the virtual machine, right? It happens when you are disabling your integration tools. It also happens when your VM has one or more dynamic disks, right? If it has non-NTFS volumes. Now, I assume that most of us in production won't have FAT anymore or FAT32, but still, if you have a server like that, you're going to have to work with a snapshot. Okay? If the cluster is offline, when the cluster is offline, there's no way we can use the VSS requesters, so at that moment, we got an issue, and it's a saved state. Well, we'll keep backing up if the machine is still known. Of course, we will not be able to take an online backup when the virtual machine is not running. I think that's logical. And larger, if you have a shadow storage assignment of a volume which is set to another volume than itself. Now, this is very rare, but I actually saw already a company using that for specific reasons. Okay? Now, one thing I want to say about this backup integration service. When I showed you those figures, and that company actually asked to a couple of backup administrators and said, why do you not want to backup on a host level? And they said, well, security doesn't allow it, because that means we inject code from the hypervisor into the virtual machine. And that's a bad thing. Now, my question is here, why is that a bad thing? Because we are all doing this. We're using integration tools, which is basically injecting code into the virtual machine. And since we're using the component of the backup integration service, we're not injecting additional code. We're actually using already what's there. So if some of the security guys says that, you're using it. You're already injecting code at this moment. Unless, of course, your servers do not use those integration services, but I assume in production that's not the case, right? What about those live migration supported scenarios, okay? Inter-cluster migration. As long as it's within the cluster, no problem. DPM finds out where is my virtual machine, takes the backup. It used to be so that a DPM had to do, at that moment, the backup through the preferred owner. That would mean if the virtual machine is not on the preferred owner, then backup could be very slow. But that's already solved, and now it will just say, where are you? Okay, there you are, I'm going to take your snapshot from there. Okay? Intra-cluster migration with 2012 SP1 is also supported. Whatever the VM is, he will find it, other cluster. Thank you very much. We take our backup. When you migrate your virtual machine from your standalone server to your cluster computers, you will find it. Same way, other way around. Okay? For that, we do require Virtual Machine Manager. Because in that scenario, it's Virtual Machine Manager that actually needs to tell where the DPM server is. Right? Now, very quickly, before I go into my first demo, how does VSS work? What is actually that plumbing that happens, all the magic that happens in the background to make sure that we can take those backups, okay? If we look at VSS in general, not on Hyper-V level, but just in general on a Windows server, well, you have a VSS requester. In this case, it's the Data Protection Manager agent. And that agent will tell on that server, hey, I want to take a backup, and I want to do it now, right? So the VSS requester goes to the VSS provider, which is built in every Windows server system, and say, hello, time to take a backup. Please talk to whoever you need to talk to. In this case, let's say it's a SQL, for example, or Exchange, it doesn't matter for that matter. The VSS provider will talk to the SQL writer, which is also a VSS component, and say, take your snapshot now. The SQL database will freeze, as it is, but it still can continue to work because the blocks that are not changed during the period of the previous backup, he just, you know, keep writing on it. But those that are changed, he will freeze, and those are actually copied at that moment to the VSS provider, and the VSS provider actually gives it at that time to the DPM agent. From the moment the DPM agent will say, okay, I've got all my information and it is on the DPM box, it will tell that to the VSS provider, and the VSS provider will say to the VSS writer, release the freeze. And everything continues as it was, and the blocks that were frozen are released again and can be overwritten at that moment. All right. Now with Hyper-V, if you do a virtualization backup, it's a little bit different. So the first part is still the same. The agent will talk to the VSS talks to the VSS writer of the virtual machine. Now the problem here is to get a consistent online backup. That means we also have to talk at that moment to the SQL server or the Exchange server running on that virtual machine. That means inside that virtual machine, the entire thing will repeat. Request, VSS, writer. Now, data comes back, because it goes inside the virtual machine, goes to the virtual machine writer, then goes to the VSS provider, and then finally goes to the DPM. And here's the issue. Inside the virtual machine, we took a backup at 3 o'clock, 2 minutes, and 21 seconds. But the snapshot taken on the virtual machine is from 3 hours, 2 minutes, and 45 seconds. So we got an issue here. That means if we boot that up, we have an inconsistency of a couple of seconds. And that could mean that your SQL, your Exchange, whatever, does not start or has bad data on it. Okay? Now, how is the magic working with DPM? What happens at that moment is that the VSS writer is going to do a study. And this is all happening in the background and does not affect your production environment. Right? What happens is it's going to find the difference, those 21 seconds or 23 seconds, forgot the date, is going to find it and just toss it away. And because it can do that, because if you go back to the previous slide, what you see is that the first backup is actually within the guest, which means it's the latest data, and the second one is on virtual machine level. So when it tosses that data away, it can actually clean it up and then say, okay, now I have a consistent backup of that date. And also tell to the VSS writer on the Hyper-V on the host level, look, I know we took your snapshot at 45 seconds or something like that, but you, next time we start from 21 seconds because we got this chunk between. It will clean everything up. And Hyper-V VSS writers, together with DPM or with other vendors, are actually the only ones in the market at that moment that are capable to do the cleanup, to make sure that everything inside the guest is still up and running, is consistent. Because what also happens is that the virtual machine, the data inside the virtual machine, if you want to, will actually make sure that your logs are truncated and that it's cleaned. And that is really something at this moment that only Hyper-V can do. All right. Enough talk. Let's see a bit how this works. Right. So I'm going to go to my demo environment. Just for your information, I'm running on one workstation here. It's got 16 gigabytes, but everything is SATA, so from time to time you will see a little bit of delay in it. On the other hand, it will show you that even on such a machine, a backup can be extremely fast. So, what we're going to do, we're going to go to DPM, and this is the DPM console seen in Windows Server 2012. It's the SP1 CDP2 version. I'm going to say New Protection Group, next, and I'm going to create myself a new protection group with a server. All right. I'm going to go to my Hyper-V server, which is still a 2008. I have to be. And what you see at this moment, you saw that it took some time before he knew which virtual machine is on it. And we're going to come back to that one a little bit later. But what is actually happening is DPM sends already a VSS query and says, what are you running there? Which means every time you're going to create a protection group, or every time you do a VSS query, you know exactly what's running on that machine. So I'm going to go to Hyper-V, and one of my workloads I want to protect is my guest 2, which is a Windows Server 2012 server. Here we go. We give it a name, demo. Demo, apparently I'm in a different keyboard layout here. Sorry about that. Next. Then we choose our goals. How long do we want to keep that virtual machine? 5 days, 14 days, 28 days, something like that. How long do we want to keep it on disk? Now, you probably have seen that I can also, my short-term protection using disk, and I can, if I would have a tape drive, do a long-term protection on tape. So everything on disk should be thinked of, well, we keep it short, and if I need my virtual machine recovery from a week ago, that means I'm going to do it from disk, which is very fast, but I still need my tapes because if somebody asks within an hour or within a year, give me back that virtual machine from that date, that I still have it on tape. Yes?
I don't know long-term retention on disk.
No, because you still have the limitations of your VSS snapshots, the amount. Now, of course, you can cheat and say, give me every once a month a backup and go to disk, then you can have a very long retention range. But that's probably not what you want to. Okay. No, it's limited to the VSS snapshots. All right. So, I've done this. I say every day at 6 o'clock, I want to have a backup. Now, once a day is a solution because of the solution uses VSS and can run on block level. And certainly with the new version SP1, that means it's going to be so fast and so performant, you can actually say every hour if you want to. Maybe not on a cluster with 4,000 virtual machines, but if you have a good sized DPM, you will be able to do that every hour, right? So, these are my rules. I see how many disks I need. That's great. I'm not going to co-locate because otherwise it will complain that I don't have enough storage. Things like that. I do everything, and I'm going to make the replica now. That means I'm going to take the backup as we speak. Okay. Next, run a consistency check. If DPM thinks that what he has and what is actually running on production is not the same anymore, that he does a block-level comparison, just to be sure. And finally, I'm going to create my group, and that's it. Now I'm creating a protection group. I have one Hyper-V. Now, you don't need to build for each virtual machine a protection group. You're probably going to create protection groups based on certain settings and put inside a lot of these virtual machines, right? Okay. I'm going to let now create this replica. So if we're going to go to monitoring, and we see that there's one job in progress, Here we go. It started. There's still no data transferred, but we'll come back in a couple of minutes and see how fast we're taking this backup.
All right.
Now, one of the other things we saw, and which was requested a lot in the study that they did, is that, yeah, okay, we still want to have backup, and funny enough, many people still want to have backup on-premise. And I'm saying funny, maybe, but on the other hand, that's normal. We want to make sure our backups are taken within our environment. And then when we say, yeah, okay, but what about tape? Are you really going to stay playing with tape, or are you open for other methods? And one of the methods people are open was, well, what if we can do it to the cloud? What if we can go to a storage provider, in this case with DPM, Azure, and we can take it to the cloud? I said, well, that's interesting, because with DPM 2012 SP1, first, it will be possible. Second, with the current version of DPM, you actually can do that already with a third-party vendor called Iron Mountain. So why aren't you doing this? What is keeping you? And one of the things that said, well, what about security, compliance? I'm from Europe. Can the USA actually get to my data? It's a question asked a lot. What happens if the cloud gets hacked? Another question is, well, somebody is making sure that that backup has been taken and there's somewhere storage, which means there's somewhere in the world one or more administrators being able to access that storage. I don't know that guy. He doesn't work for me. I don't trust him. What is he doing with my data? Can Steve Ballmer get to my data? He's the boss of Microsoft. If he comes in and says, I want to see that storage over there, show me, can he actually do it? Now, the answer to that is, with the backup to the cloud, your data is always encrypted. And the private key that's necessary to de-encrypt it is with you. And only with you. It's not in the cloud. Okay? Can you control where the data actually is? Yes, we can say we are Europe. It's only allowed in Europe data centers, which means, in our case, Amsterdam or Ireland, one of the two. What about networking? Means sending up a virtual machine to the cloud, let's say 15 gigabytes, and that's not even a large virtual machine. Are you really thinking that's going to happen with my pipelines? Well, the first time, yeah, the first replica will take some time. There probably will be solutions where you will be able to send it up through different methods, but it will take some time. But on the other hand, DPM, or the product team behind DPM, has invested a lot into compression and into network throttling to make sure that it doesn't take all your bandwidth during production hours. Now, the cool thing would be that I can show this live. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to. However, if you go to MGT 327 tomorrow at 10:45, and I hope that's the correct hour, they will actually show you how easy it is and how fast it is to do your backups to the cloud. Well, at least if the network here in the Rye holds like something like that, right? All right, let's talk about more about these scenarios, how you're going to do them. Very shortly, because I want to go back to my demos, much more fun. If you have a standalone host, one Hyper-V host, you want to backup, what do you need? You need a DPM agent on that host. End of story. That's easy. What happens if you want to do cluster protection? You got a CSV cluster or a failover cluster. Well, you need to have an agent on every cluster node. Wherever the virtual machine goes, he will just follow because he's got those agents, right? What if you're going to use it, an SMB disk with the new features in Windows Server 2012? Then you need to install your agent on the different machines, both on the Hyper-V host as well as on the file server. And there's one trick there is if you want to do that, you need to make sure that your DPM server account, it has full access, both on folder level and on share level, on the SMB file server. Okay? It can support both standalone SMB file servers as clustered file servers. If it's Microsoft clustering, out of the box. If it's a non-Microsoft cluster, then you need to add on those SMB boxes another registry key. After you install the agents, you will go to local machine, software, Microsoft, Microsoft Data Protection Manager, agent cluster, and then actually put the resource type of your cluster. If you do that, then DPM will recognize the cluster and actually treat it as a cluster as well. So it works, but don't forget the registry key if it's a non-Microsoft cluster, right? Now, if you want to protect live migration, I'm not talking about the live migration which happens inside one cluster. I'm talking about the one that happens from cluster to another cluster or to a standalone box or vice versa. DPM needs to know where it is. At that moment, you actually need to work together with the virtual machine manager server. And you need to set up that communication first before you start protecting different virtual machines. And one of the downsides at this moment is that the DPM server, the virtual machine manager, and the host still have to be in the same domain. Okay? All right. One of the questions we get a lot is, yeah, well, you're right, Mike. Nobody tells me when there are new virtual machines. So I just have to guess or call my virtualization administrator every day and say, you got new virtual machines, got new virtual machines. How can we handle this? Well, we have a script for that. The script, which the URL is here and will be in the slides, is add new standalone virtual machines or add new clustered virtual machines, depending on what you're working. And what the script is going to do, it will take two parameters and will actually make sure go and search on that standalone or on that cluster if there are new virtual machines which are not yet protected. And let me quickly, here we go, go to my machine and show you the script. So I've got the script, I've placed it somewhere on the DPM server. It doesn't have to be on the Hyper-V server, it's just somewhere on my DPM server. And I could run it on a daily basis, I could run it on a weekly basis, things like that. And what it does, and by the way, look very funny, this script is expected to work with DPM 2010 beta, but it works with 2012, so somebody is going to have to change that one. What it accepts is the production server, and the protection group name. So what you're going to do at that moment is say, well, my Hyper-V server is, in my case, let me quickly say, oops, add new standalone virtual machine PS1. Make sure that your policy is set OK, so run once. What is the protection server fully qualified to name? Hyper-V 01.contoso.com. Here we go. And what is your existing Hyper-V protection group? Because it will put that into a specific protection group, which already has to exist before you run the script. So Hyper-V. Now you will see that it fails, luckily, because otherwise my machine now would start backing up all my virtual machines and I would be faithful. Why does it fail? Because I don't have enough storage in that box. It's that simple. However, a few things you have to think about when you use a script. One is it will take every virtual machine on that host. Or if it's a cluster, every virtual machine. Even if you say, I don't want specific virtual machines not to backup, then you need to adapt the script that it makes sure that it skips those. So remember that. And if you want to divide your Hyper-V virtual machines into different protection groups, that means that you have to create multiple scripts and also say based on certain parameters, certain data that defines the correct new virtual machines. So out of the box it works, but it will take everything and you can download it for free. But if you want to put some logic in it into your production environment, that means you will probably have to adapt a bit the script. Okay? So gone is PowerShell. All right. One of the things you also saw was the moment I was opening my DPM and I was going to Hyper-V, that it took a few seconds before it actually showed the virtual machines. The reason for that being the VSS query we do at that moment. Now, I have five, six, I think, virtual machines, so the query isn't that long. Let's think about a 64-node cluster with about 4,000 or 5,000 virtual machines on it. After doing some testing, we actually saw that the query could take to a couple of hours. So you open up, you want to create a protection group, and then go find some coffee, find a lot of coffee, because you're not working anymore until you actually finish the query. To be able to do that, what you can do is, the first time you always have to do, it has to be done once, but you can actually change something within the DPM server to make sure that he will use a cache, meaning he will remember what he queried and keep that in cache by default 48 hours. You can change that time interval if you want to. So the next time you actually do that, that goes a lot faster and don't have to wait that much, right? How you do that? Simply by adding a registry key in to the DPM server. So let me show you that. This is our DPM server. I'm going to go to, this is my registry. I, of course, not going to type this, but let me just show you quickly. I'm going to add a folder, and I'm going to add a D word, which is called inquiry results timeout interval. I'll just quickly run it and show you. Yes, okay. Then go back to the registry, and we have a new folder called cache inquiry results with this D word, right? What it does is this. I'm going to go to prediction group. I'm going to go to new. Next, and then here you will see this button clear cache. This means now the first time I'm actually going to do that, he's going to cache what he found from the VSS query. He's going to do that not only for Hyper-V but also for SQL, for Exchange, and so on, which will make your life much faster and easier. And if you really are sure and you say, well, I know there are new changes, I know there are new databases, you press the clear cache button and it will do the query anyway. So a little trick here if you have these large environments and you want to query those, right? Okay. All right, let's talk about recovering, because that's also very important, a thing. Backing up is one thing. Doing recovery is another thing. So what kind of options do we have? Well, first we have recovering to the original location, which means sort of delete the virtual machine running there and put the recovery back. That's it. But we can also recover to an alternate location. And let's say this is a virtual machine which is highly available, running on a cluster. We can easily recover it to a standalone host. That means you already get out of the box, very easy, a way of testing your backups on a monthly, on a tri-monthly, on a yearly basis. Because you can recover it to a standalone host, somewhere, some hardware you're still having, running Hyper-V. It gets that. And it won't start it, which means at that moment you can take it off the production network and see if it actually boots and have the data inside. Only thing you have to remember, from the moment you do alternate location, and that could be the same cluster but also another cluster, that won't be high available anymore, and you have to make it highly available again yourself if that's necessary, right? And last but not least, you can do item level recovery, which means with DPM you can actually browse inside that virtual machine, see the data on it, and just recover that data, a database file. And remember I said it was consistent, our snapshot. That means if you copy the MDB and the log files and whatever else you need for a database, and you recover those, that you actually can go to the SQL team and say, here is your backup, and mount it, and it will actually work. Same for Exchange. It will actually work. Okay. So, let's quickly go back. Here we go. First thing I want to show you is my backup is already complete from the first demo, and I'm going to show you today's job, the completed ones, and here you see that I actually created the replica, or did my backup of almost 9 gigabytes. I know it's a simple standalone next Windows Server 2012 with not much things running, so it's not that large, but we did it in less than 4 minutes on a simple workstation with, no, not even SSD, just SATA. So I think it's pretty fast to do the entire replica. And if you remember at that moment we only will do deltas, then you will know you take your backups of your virtual machine sometimes less than 1 minute apiece. Okay? Now, for recovery, what I'm going to do is I'm going to delete the virtual machine and I'm going to recover it entirely. But before I do that, because that is something that I need for my next demo, this is my guest. It's a simple Windows Server 2002 with some very important data on it, right? This is a complete backup, including the text files. I will show you that in a second. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say, well, I'm going to create here a very important document. Backup keys, something like that. Yeah, okay. And some data in it. Here we go. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to go back to the DPM server. I'm going to go to one of my protection groups, and that protection group actually specifically protects that folder, that my important data. And I'm going to take a backup of it. I'm going to create a recovery point, and I'm going to do it now. The reason why I'm going to do that is because I will recover the virtual machine a little bit later. And of course, that file should not be in it, because, well, I haven't taken the backup of the entire virtual machine in between. Okay, so we're waiting a bit until it's done. Same time, here we go, transferring some changes. Success, success. Okay, as a backup. Now here we go. Guest one, we just turn off. Yeah, yeah. Bye. That's, here we go, and bye-bye. Oops, made a mistake, virtualization administrator made a mistake, gives me a call, something's wrong, let's recover this one. Yeah, this one has deleted, so we're not seeing that again. We're going to go back to our DPM server, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go recovery. I'm choosing here my protected Hyper-V data. Let me quickly say, what is it? This one, and here you see the changes where I have child partition, which means I do live backups, and the other ones where I'm actually doing offline backups. I'm going to say recover. Next, recover to the original instance, recover to a virtual machine, another one, or copy it to a network folder, and then take those files and import it somewhere, and you can also start your virtual machines. Or even if I would have a tape drive, copy to tape. By the way, anybody ever need to use that? Everybody's got, like I used to have when I worked for a few large companies, where there's the auditor coming in and says, I want tape of 3 months ago and 17 days. Give me that tape to see that you actually have those backups. Now, I was a good boy, I was a good backup administrator, so I could say, yeah, no problem, here it is. Now, then the auditor goes like, thank you very much, I'm going to investigate it, and you will get it back when I'm done. So here are my nice tape sets with missing one tape, if I'm lucky. Now that's great until I actually re-need that tape, because by the time the auditor sends it back, we're a couple of months further. Now DPM has foreseen in this, because in the US it happens actually a lot that auditors do that, that you can say, give me the backup of that date, then you can select that date and then do a backup or recovery to another tape and give that one to the auditor and then say, yeah, have fun with it, I'll lose $50 for the tape, but have fun with it. That's the reason why you can do a recovery to a tape. Okay, we're going to do next. Imagine that I would have a SAN, and I would have SAN VSS writer. I could do a SAN-based recovery, which is lightning fast, but fortunately, I don't have those toys to play with. Here you see I actually have my VHD and some block level changes attached to it, and we're going to do the recover, and we leave it like that, all right? Now, I'm going to close this. We're going to go to our monitoring again, and you will see at this moment there is a recovery running. A few things I want to show you, actually, also, if I'm going to go to recovery. What I can do is, I got my guest one, I got my VHD, I'm going to browse through it, and let's hope this works. And now I see the virtual machine volume, and you will see that I actually can look at all the different files which are on that VHD, which means if I go to this your important data and it's only one file I need, I can recover that file, which will be much faster, instead of doing the entire virtual machine. And this option actually should think, you get an extra option. You can only do host level backup if you can do it every hour and still only recover the files you need. That means you don't need to do guest level backup anymore. Now that strategy won't work with every workload, but it is possible. And you also see that on my VHD, which I'm recovering now, I only have the two text files, and the one we just created, it's not yet on it, right? So, let's go quickly to monitoring. It's still working, it's already transferring data, so we're good there, all right? And we leave it there for a couple more minutes. Now let's talk about what's the difference between protecting inside the guests and what's the difference in protecting on the host level. And a host, it's pretty easy. You're protecting the entire machine. It's bare metal recovery, but on an easy way on the machine level, right? You can do item level recovery and you work. You can actually even do a full backup of a server that is a non-Windows server and it runs line of business applications that don't have VSS writers. Only thing, remember, it pauses for a second. The only way we're certain that it is in a consistent state. But that means if you're still running Windows 2000 server, and I do hope you're not, but imagine that you still do, that you can also take a full bare metal recovery of that machine easily as long as it's running virtual. And in the future, I'm pretty sure, because one of the product group bosses is here of DPM, we're pretty sure we're even going further if Linux is running on Hyper-V, that we will also be able to do those backups. Why? Well, even they are looking at VSS. Even they are working on it to implement it into the system. All right. Now, if you're going to look at a guest packet, what we do then is we need to install a guest, an agent, inside the guest. That means we're still going to backup as it is a physical machine. But at that moment, we can protect specifically SQL, specifically Exchange, SharePoint files, and so on, right? It's the same way as we did always, only we're trying to protect those workloads live online without doing offline backups and things like that. Now, if you combine those two, you actually get a very good disaster recovery plan. Because let's say, for example, I take a backup of my virtual machine once a week. On a Friday evening, somewhere in the weekend, I don't know. But during the days, every hour I take a backup of my SQL database. What do I get at that moment is that suddenly things goes wrong, fire, I recover the virtual machine, which is consistent, which boots, and which has a DPM agent inside, guest installed. It boots, but it's 1 week old, or 6 days old, or 5 days. Anyway, the data inside is old. But since we're actually protecting the data inside the guest as well, that means we can recover the latest data where we have in that protection. Okay? Let's see. All right. Ooh, I've got a failed job, but the disk recovery actually worked. So that means here, my guest is back. It is off. It will always recover and will not start itself. So I'm going to start this one at the same time. There we go. And we're going to go back to our DPM server, because what I'm now going to try to show is I just recovered my virtual machine, and imagine that this is the backup of 1 week old. So it's actually 1 day old, but follow me here. And I want that one single file I created just before I deleted the machine. I want that as well. So because I got in guest protection, I can actually go now to my guest here on my C drive, on my your important data, and here is that text file where I just took a backup before I deleted it. And I can say, we're going to go recover. Next, recover to the original location, meaning actually put it back on my recovered virtual machine, or an alternate location, which will do. The only thing I fear is, at this moment, that my guest is not yet up and running, so I will have to wait a bit until this one is running. Have some time. So to be sure that he can reach it, here we go. So I'm going to recover to the original location. A few options here. What do I want to do in case it already exists? Do we want to create a copy? Do we want to override it? Things like that. But also, what about security? If you're recovering to the same server, then probably security hasn't changed. But if you're recovering to an alternate location, do you want to keep the security of the original location? Yes or no? So some things you can do. So it's not that your backup admins at that moment can say, hey, somebody wants that file, it is secured, but we recover to there, and then the other one can work with it. So you can build that in. Here we go, recover. And that's it. And in a couple of seconds, probably a minute or so, we will be able to see that that file is back inside the guest. So those two, the combination of the two, will actually give you a great disaster recovery plan only on one DPM server. Server down, recover the virtual machine, bare metal recovery of the virtual machine, sort of, and then afterwards the latest data. Now, why would you want to use that instead of taking every hour a backup of the entire virtual machine? It all has to do with how fast is your network, what's the power of your DPM server, things like that. That will make that decision. All right? And normally, and this is always fingers crossed. It's Belgian. No, let me quickly put it on US here and hope I can log in. That seems to be working. And if my demo worked, then I should be able to see that file again. Quickly see disk, your important data. And it worked, so here's the file again. Right? Okay. Now let's talk about disaster recovery a bit, because this is all great if you're in one data center, you've got your DPM server, and we're not talking about tapes at this moment, so we're backing up everything to our DPM server, and then, well, something happens, there's a flood, there's a fire, whatever. there goes the DPM server. So no more backups, so we're seen. One of the things that DPM can do is actually go from primary DPM server and then take those backups and back them up again to a secondary DPM server. And the good news here is that first you can use different schedules. So let's say you've got a SQL database and you want to protect it every hour. That's great to the primary DPM server. But your secondary DPM server is somewhere in another location and there's a WAN between it, so probably not the best bandwidth you can imagine. You're going to do that only at night. And the good thing also is that when you do your secondary DPM server, when it takes its backup, it will do it from the primary DPM server, which means your production environment has not been played with on two times. So your production environment doesn't feel the load anymore.
Right.
Now that means that you get a lot of possibilities. And my apologies for the very bad graphics, but imagine that we have two data centers here, data center A, data center B, and both have some servers running, right? So in the first data center, I'm protecting a SQL database with a primary DPM server. At the same time, I'm replicating that at night, that backup, to the secondary DPM server, which is in data center B. But data center B also has servers. That means I've got somewhere a file server over there. He's protecting some Word files. And now he's playing primary server and actually sends that document at night or at other intervals to the other DPM server. So you can kind of create a circle where DPM protects itself, things like that. You actually get more ideas here. You can extend that. You can say you got one DPM server that's protected by the secondary DPM server, which at its turn is protected by the third DPM server, and then maybe go around the circle. So if you have you have a large company headquarters and you got some other locations where that also have some servers, you can think of some solutions with this recovery to make sure that everything is backed up locally. And at the same time, at night or whenever you want to, all the data is going to the headquarters. So you get some great possibilities with this. So let me show that. Here we go. So what I'm going to do here is, this is my DPM server, and I'm now going to go to my secondary DPM server. I'll make sure this. Again, this is DPM 2012, SP1, CTP2, running on a Windows Server 2012. And what I did is I just from here installed an agent onto the DPM, the first DPM server. At that moment, this DPM server actually knows, hey, I am the secondary protecting that one. Now you can, of course, from the primary also install an agent on the secondary, and then you got both scenarios, right? So what we can do is, and let me just take this protection group, and I call it replicas, right? I'm going to modify this. And I'm going to go to my primary DPM server, which has installed an agent that's connected to me, to the DPM2 server. And this is, remember, the VSS again. Probably should have put the button here for the demo, but forgot that. And you see here protected service. So DPM2 sees that DPM is actually protecting service. And we're going to look at that. And we see, Hyper-V level, he's protecting a few virtual machines. And on guest one computer, he is actually protecting some data. Again, here goes the VSS queries. I will get information. Here we go. And what I can do now is say, well, some of these virtual machines are really important, so I want a secondary backup of it. I can select them now. And let me take one of these here, the guest two, for example, which we just created in the beginning of the session. Next. Again, a name. The goals, short-term goals again, and the difference here is that you can change your schedule and make it more easy if you have one lines or something like that, okay? Next, he's going to calculate for some disk space, and I assume I still just have enough, all right. I will try to create a replica now, and so on. And we're updating our group, and now the backup of the guest 2, which we protected in the beginning of the session, is now being replicated from the DPM1 server to the DPM2 server, which means we're getting additional backup. Okay? Now, for recovery, or just simply, what happens if the DPM server dies? The first one, but only the DPM server. At that moment, you can actually say switch disaster protection. And what happens is that your secondary DPM will take over the protection of those virtual machines from his side. Why? Well, it's only the DPM server that's dead in the data center, so what you want is that the protection of your production environment continues, right? Also, if it's really, really went bad and everything is gone, then you can do direct recovery straight from DPM2. Let me show you that. I'm going to go to recovery, if it wants to. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try one of these replicas I already created. Here we go. Nope, that was wrong. Hyper-V, all protected data. This one. I'm going to go for recover. And you will see that I have a few options. If it wants to come, here we go. Next. We can recover to the original. So from DPM2, we can go recovery directly to the correct cluster or the correct host. We can, of course, recover to any host as a virtual machine. We can also, again, go to the network folder. And if we have tapes, we're going to go to tapes. But another option is we are able to recover the replica to the primary DPM server. So in case the first DPM server, whatever happened, but it's dead, you rebuild that server, you can actually put those replicas from the secondary back to the primary. So you got your backups back, right? Here we go. All right. And with that, before I open the floor for questions, let me first, and for a review, let me first say, and that's something we have to say, and we're sorry about that, really do your evaluations. Thank you very much. We have to say that. But it's very important for us and also for the people who organize it here. Short review. I'm hoping that you see that backing up data is changing. You're going to do online backups. You're talking about disaster recovery. You're talking about replication. And you have to follow the data to wherever it goes. If we go more and more to these cloud scenarios, you will see that where is the virtual machine? Nobody knows. It could be here, it could be there, it could be everywhere. But that there are already solutions out there that can actually follow those things and that will make your life much more easier. This afternoon, we actually did a session where we proved that you can work with self-service portals and with Orchestrator, which is also a product of System Center, and to automate these things and let your end users select themselves what backups they want. Everything will be automatically created into DPM, and you just have to check from time to time if you have enough storage and things like that. The same for recovery. You can give that option to your end users. And with that, I think I said everything what I need to say. And I will already thank you very much for being here. Enjoy the rest of Nivant. And if you have questions, yes.
RDR model is based on backing up machines from our primary side and then restoring them as virtual machines in a cold site.
Yes.
Can DPM back up physical machines and restore them as virtual?
Yes. So the question was, because I have to repeat the questions for the recording, their model is they are backing up physical machines. Sorry, physical machines. Both physical machines and virtual machines on a primary side, and the idea is to recover it on a cold site or another data center, right? So yes, that is perfectly possible. You can do bare metal recovery starting from 2008 server, because I wouldn't advise you to do it with 2003 physical servers, because there that tool is, let's say 2008 bare metal recovery works great, and the other one, let's not talk about it. But you can do that, bare metal recovery backups. It's the physical side, then do virtual machine backups, also on the primary side. Replicate that data to your secondary DPM server on your cold side, and then recover those to another cluster or another host, as you have seen that's possible. And if you want to, and you use, for example, Orchestrator from the suite, you can actually automate that recovery process every day, do those things.
So in what format, the bare metal backup with the data?
VHD. So if you have a server with a C drive, a D drive, an E drive, and those are all included into the bare metal recovery, because there's one trick about bare metal recovery backup, it's only protecting the volumes that are needed to start up the service. So you first have to check which. It depends. If your data is in one of these volumes he needs to boot, then yes. If it's not, then you need to remember that you have to select those volumes as well to backup. So there are a few things that you have to check, but it will save them or put them on the disk as CVHD, DVHD, EVHD, which means that you can also, if they are physical, recover them virtually.
So you're saying we have to create a different set of policies?
Yes. Yes, but...
And then restore them as DHP in the destination side.
Okay. Sorry, I probably explained it badly. What it does is it does indeed do bare metal recovery backup. And it only a bare metal recovery backup only contains the specific volumes that needs to start. So your C drive probably, if you got some program files on your D, it will take the D as well. That means that if you also want the data included, and it's on the E drive, that you have to check one thing and say, give me E as well, okay? It saves it on disk as a VHD. But the recovery you can do on two ways. Or you recover it as a virtual machine, and then everything is okay because you got your VHDs. Or you're going to recover it bare metal recovery, and what that means is, as a matter of speech, you take your Windows Server 2008 CD-ROM, you plug it into a machine, you start a setup, and at a certain moment you got the option recover. And those files, those VHDs, will then be recovered as a physical server again.
Well,
I'm not so sure about that, but that's the matter, yeah.
It would require a lot of customization, a lot of steps, and again we are discussing the idea that prerequisites for a DR should be as minimum as possible, because to meet prerequisites it takes you 2 days. And if you have a requirement SLA that says recover my critical services in 2 days, people who are at the DRs are busy just meeting the prerequisites, like putting in CDs, doing this, doing that, and then making this. So the idea should be, our idea is that these machines from here go as virtual machines, whether it is in form of tapes or disks, to that site. And
but you
sitting there as virtual machines, we should be able to just start them up.
Oh, just 1 second, and then I'm going to introduce you to Nila. Nila, could you raise your hand for a second here? That guy, take him. That's the big boss of DPM from Microsoft. So take him outside. Tell him everything you say. Say, do it. Thank you. No, just kidding. The idea is, if I get it correctly, you are protecting physical machines. And virtual ones, but I'm not talking about the virtual ones, because that procedure is simple,
yeah.
That you can automate. But are you going to recover them as a physical machine?
Virtual.
Then actually it is possible with zero prerequisites. Then you can actually automate it.
Okay.
Yes.
So the VHDs won't be able to start them as virtual machines on ESX. What's the conversion
in that? Oh, you want to run on ESX?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. DPM cannot protect virtual machines on ESX. Then I should tell you, look at Veeam.
That's where the problem is. The organization wants two different backup solutions.
True.
And if you're saying DPM would only work with Microsoft stuff, but won't work with this non-Microsoft stuff, then all organizations have a heterogeneous mix of products. And
I'm not going to go into this argument. I'm going to stop this argument here, but there's the guy. Take him outside, do something with it. I can only say, talk to the product team. unfortunately, I'm not the product team. Well, maybe unfortunately, I would be a very bad programmer, actually, but I cannot answer to that. The roadmap, and that's the guy you need to convince. The only thing I can say, please convince the guys, because the more features we get, because I really love the product, and it's great in doing what it does, but the better it becomes and the more things it could do, yeah, I would be a fan as well at that moment. All right. Whoa. I'll start with you. Sorry. So the question is, your number of backup sets is limited by the VSS, yes.
Yes, and that's 265, 512?
512, unless for files, then it's 64.
Okay.
Yes,
and
but not on tape.
Then your backup sets
Then you go into a scenario that you replicate them to a secondary.
Yes.
Do I get another 64 or 512 or count as a
whole? No, it's not counting as a whole. So you indeed get another 512 or 64. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And I can change retention?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Theoretically,
that would be possible, yeah. But you have to think on your strategy as well, meaning if your DPM, your primary DPM server is still working, and you got a shorter retention, and you say, hey, I found a solution, secondary DPN, I'm going to go that way, that could lead to, I would test that one first before you actually put that into production, because I'm not sure, based on the VSS, because from disk you're going to do a VSS recovery, and actually those servers don't know these points anymore. Maybe you can do it by recovering to a network folder. Nila, maybe you can answer that, but I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do an online recovery at that moment. Something to be tested.
The trick is in the recovery bit.
Yeah.
But if it's a VAC, I can just mount it up.
Yeah. If you do it first to a network folder or something and then mount it, then theoretically you should be able to do. Because if you're going to look at DPM itself and you're going to go into the volume, so one of the directories of the DPM bits, you will be able to see the plain VHD, the plain MDB. I mean, you can easily kill DPM and still go to those volumes and take off the data. Because it stands there in its normal format, the exchange format, the SQL format, file format, of course, and VHD.
So
yeah. Yes, that's why I test these things first out. But I also take into consideration, do you really want 30 days of virtual machines? I assume if you take everyone one day, then keep a few, five, but 30 days? Wow. Talk to your boss. On SQL and Exchange, I can understand that, but on virtual machine level. All right. You have a question?
Service pack 1 is available to
download? Okay, so the question is the service pack 1 of DPM 2012 available? The answer is yes, the CTP 2 bits, so don't use in production, basically. They are available already on the internet. If you do a Google, a Bing to it, you will find it without any issues. Oops. Yes?
Can you recover to a virtual machine, for example, in Azure, in the cloud, and run it from there for the recovery purpose?
Okay, the question is, can you recover a virtual machine, which you probably did on-premises, and recover it to Azure?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know that roadmap, and maybe he will... And I see him not at this point, and you're not telling us if it's on the roadmap. I can try. No comment. All right. More questions? Yes?
How about the application of the stored data on the backup server?
Sorry?
How about the application of the data stored in the backup server?
All right. That question.
And the built-in application.
Okay. Yes. So CTP2 at this moment already supports the built-in data deduplication feature of Windows 2012. So that means if you have some file servers with data deduplication running on it, it will do the backup, and it will be a very it will use less storage on your DPM server as well. However, at this moment, but don't forget with CTP2, the volumes of DPM self, the pool where you put your backups, you cannot enable data deduplication yet. I'm hoping, but I don't know.
So if I were to store the same server 30 times,
yes.
It would take up 30 times the space.
Yes, if you would indeed have, for example, not if it's the same server, but let's say you back up 30 virtual machines. They're all Windows Server 2008 R2, which means 90% of these servers is exactly the same. Yes, you have 30 of these full replicas. Nila, hear that? Just messing with you. All right. More questions?
Is there any limitation of volume sizes?
Sorry?
Is there any limitation of volume sizes?
Of volume sizes. Yes, so there is there a limitation of volume sizes? Yes, there is. So each DPM server will be able to protect around 80 terabytes of data. 80. And if you're going to look at application workload level, then you will see, for example, that the maximum Exchange 2010 DAC it can protect is a DAC of 40 terabytes. By the way, if somebody of you has a DAC of 40 terabytes, I want to talk to you. The largest I ever did was 25 terabytes, more or less. Yes?
Is there a problem protecting CSP on GPC?
Is there a problem protecting CSV on? Okay. No, that's perfectly possible. I was thinking, no, that's perfectly possible. He doesn't care. Because actually your storage pool itself of DPM, you can choose to make it MBR or GPT, and the best practice is actually saying make it GPT, and then if you have, let's say, hundreds of terabytes, no, that's too much, let's say 50 terabytes that you want to put into your storage pool to make it all GPT and split it up in 1.8 terabyte volumes. So you got a storage pool with multiple things, and DPM will just see it as one big, happy storage pool. I'm going to go to there because there was another question. Yes? Do I have experience in what? Yes, I do have experience in that, which I can't do it. Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, I've got a lot of experience. Yes?
Is the backend database SQL 2012?
At this moment, with SP1, the backend database is 2008 R2. It should be, if I have read it correctly, it should be 2012 by the time it's live. It's going to go to RTM. Yes. One thing I want to say, and then I think maybe, but I will stay here around for questions, but then I can let the people go to ask the experts and things like that, and have something to drink and food and whatever. One thing is, if you really work with DPM and you want to do some serious backup, think about the fact putting your SQL locally. There are plenty of reasons for it, but make sure you make that RJ. And please come in front. Let me just thank you very much, everybody, for being here. I hope you had a great time. And have fun at Ask the Experts and drinks and everything else. And hopefully see you tomorrow. Thank you.